All right, brothers and sisters, let's open our Bibles, and we're in 2 Corinthians and chapter 8. And again, so blessed to be in the book of Corinthians. And the continuing thrill, I have to tell you, that God has just so sweetly put upon my life from even last Wednesday with the thought of, again, the abundance of God's grace. How freely it's bestowed, how absolutely sufficient it is, and how all sufficiency in all things we, by the grace of God, will get to this evening. But it's magnificent, brothers and sisters. And again, what we can glean from this book, what we can glean from this chapter is only the Spirit, and I just am so thankful what He's bringing. But again, the epitome of it last week, I just wanted to touch on there in chapter 8 and in verse 9, where it said, For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, that's what we're growing in, and we are beginning to know that more and more all the time. How sufficient and ever-loving that grace is. Every ability, every need, everything. It's a gift, and God wants to give it to you, and it's there for you. But we know this grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. And again, aren't you thankful how rich you are this evening? See, the world doesn't get it. I really believe by His grace I'm looking at the wealthiest there's ever been. I hope you realize that. I really, really hope you know that. And again, this isn't just to try to promote something that would be false. I'm talking about I can validate it in the Word of God. You're receiving the exceeding riches of His grace. Praise God to come into that. I think of the sun glory that was so revealed to me, as they say, on a deathbed. It wasn't on a deathbed. It was where Brother Hill was really going to begin to start living, in a sense. But right when he was ready to go with the Lord, he couldn't speak at all. And I was just so thankful how the Lord allowed me to pray. And after I was finished praying, the only thing that the Spirit put on my heart, I said, "Can you imagine, Grandpa? It's sun glory that awaits you." And all I remember is the last audible words he ever spoke to me were, "Oh, you reckon so." Man, what a cloud of witness. Praise God. Tell you what a path he has for us. So let's just pay attention to it. That again, we're heirs of God. We're seated together with him. But what is in the offering? The joint heirship with Jesus Christ. You talk about grace. But we've got a lot to cover, so let's get into verse 16 where we left off. That's chapter 8, verse 16. "But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you." Now again, this is Brother Paul encouraging and commending this sweet brother Titus. And remember that word Titus means nurse. And thank God, you know, a lot of people think about, well, what does Paul mean? Well, Paul means small, means little. And praise be to God, I hope you get that one. The last shall be first, and I'll tell you, that one, chief of the sinners, isn't that wonderful what God did in that life to, again, make him be the one that, again, only by the grace of God, I'm ready to be offered. Hallelujah, to be able to say that from the chief of sinners. See, that's God. You've got a chance. Don't put your head down. I'm telling you, this God loves us so. But again, here we're so thankful that this brother had that same care. And I hope this is speaking to each and every one of us. We need to have that kind of care. You know, people talk about have love for your fellow man. I want us to have love and the love of God that causes us to give out the Word of God. That when we're in a situation And I'm talking about a tense situation, and there's lots of them. You know that, especially at family and all these different things with friends and all. That you don't just try to sugarcoat something and to just let's get rid of it and make it go away. But that you truly can respond in the things of the Word of God and give somebody everlasting instead of giving something to somebody that's not going to last but maybe for that moment. And I mean that. And you know what I'm talking about. And by the grace of God, to have that kind of boldness, truth and love. Truth and love. And praise God, that's what we're building tonight, is to fall more and more in love with the truth. And then by His grace, we will speak that truth and love. It'll come forth. It's just a byproduct, hallelujah, of our life. It will just spew forth because that's what God is building in us. But here we go. It is this wonderful charity that Paul is pointing out here of Titus. He's saying, yes, brother, it's wonderful that these brothers and sisters have this wonderful attitude of giving with the Lord, and you as well too. But the most important thing, brothers and sisters, is that we care for one another's souls. We want to add to one another's joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's that adding to, and to be able to build that by His grace. And again, that's only God in us. It's not a natural gift. It's not because somebody's happy all the time. It's not because somebody's a great speaker. It's not because somebody has a great house or a neat car or something of that nature. It's because only of one thing, the grace of God, who brings the love of God into our life and allows it to be poured forth. So thanks be to God. Going on, verse 17. For indeed, He accepted... This is so important. He accepted the exhortation. This means He accepted the calling. See, there's many of us that have callings on our life, but we turn away from it. And I really do believe all of God's people have a calling on your life. And the Word of God says what it is. You've already been saved. Now it's come to a full knowledge of the truth. That's the calling on your life. And it is. Now once that happens and once you embrace that, God will put you where you need to be. Absolutely, 100% guaranteed, He will move you. He will direct your path. He will having you do exactly what you need to be doing. Or not having you do anything, but being still and knowing that He is God. It's a wonderful thing, praise God. Those are the things that God does in our life and how He moves. So this brother accepted the calling, but being more forward, that means he was full of the zeal, the love of God, of his own accord, he went unto you. He didn't wait. He said, this is too good. God is moving me. See, that's a wonderful thing, is to move with the Lord. And that's the only way you ever want to move. You don't want to move because somebody else is moving. You have a walk with the Lord individually. You do. And by the grace of God, He will direct your life. He's your purpose. And again, a lot of times, it's wonderful to have relationships. It's wonderful to have these brothers and sisters of like faith. My family, praise God. But I'm not moving, in a sense, with you. I'm moving with God. You're moving with God. And by the grace of God, then we move together with Him. Hallelujah. And see, that's how He directs us. And it's always going to be that individual walk that He is looking for. So again, we're not looking to one another for faith. We're not looking to one another for, in a sense, our encouragement. Even though I want to give that by His grace, I look to Him. I look to Him. Don't magnify this flesh one bit, or we'll get off in a direction we don't want to go. We put our confidence in man whose breath is in his nostrils. I'll guarantee you, you'll start to see the failure. You'll start to see the blemish. You'll start to put your confidence in something that's not there. It's in the Lord. But see, by His grace, just like we read earlier about these Corinthians, it was really precious because Paul got excited, because we've been reading about these Corinthians and how dysfunctional they are and were, and how they believed in anything. They would worship a book, a tree, a can. It didn't matter. Everything was a god. You know, basically, it was the epitome of where we're at today. But what he's saying here, and we'll read again, Lord willing, tonight, is I have confidence in you now. Because the Lord's working. I have confidence in my brothers and sisters, not because of you, because God's working. And I'm thankful for that. And it's mighty and it's powerful. And we can draw off of that. And that's when we can run well and run together for His best. All right, so He went on His own accord in verse 18. And we have sent with Him the brother. And this brother was probably Luke here. And I don't want to get into explaining why we have some of these thoughts of why this brother was that. But this brother was most likely Luke, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. Now, this is so important. And you think about what man, and especially even men today and women today, that really are bringing forth the word of God, but truly where and what and who is truly being magnified. We want to magnify the Lord. We want to be transparent. I appreciate that you love me. I really do. And I appreciate the love of God that we have. But the greatest sermon, the greatest message, the greatest anything that we could ever preach is, as I say, is when who's ever given it is not here. They've disappeared. It's the wonderful Lord. He's the one that's being magnified. And this is the beauty about what we're reading here, is the praise was in the gospel. The praise wasn't to Paul, it wasn't to Timothy, it wasn't to Luke or whoever this might be in. And I really do believe that's why they don't even tell you specifically who it is. Because it doesn't matter. And you've heard me say this before, this is one reason I love this meeting. It's living waters. And the living water is here. Amen. And that's what it is. It's living waters. Praise God. It's not about a person. It's about the person. It's about Jesus Christ. So what a precious promise. And thank God again in His grace that He brings it. And again, throughout all the churches. See, the praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And these are the churches, again, that are seeking the things of God. And churches that seek the things of God are not going to praise a man. They're going to praise the gospel. And what is the gospel? It's your wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's the grace. Do you see how all this fits in together? And it is so perfect and beautiful. All right, 19. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace. Now, isn't that precious? Anytime you travel, whenever you travel, you know how you want to travel? With grace. You know how that on the TV, they said, don't ever leave home without it. Grace. Amen. It's the grace of God. You're getting it. Praise the Lord. And that's how these wonderful brothers and sisters, I'm sure there was groups of them that went together, and they traveled with grace. And see, you'll never be able to offer anything to anyone. You'll never ever be a blessing to anyone except for the grace of God. It's a gift. It's not of you. It's not of me. It's something that God has to bring. And the thing that's beautiful about this power that God gives us is I am learning, I can testify of this, I'm learning to rest in it. That, Lord, You've given it. You've appointed that. And by Your grace, I'm just going to accept it. Don't need to work up anything. I don't need to worry about not having something. It's just there. And how You're going to bring it and how it's going to be manifested, if I'll have confidence in You, I know it will always be in demonstration of Your power and of Your Spirit. It will be here. And sometimes the Spirit is so mighty, it's incredible. It'll break rocks in two. It'll cause things to be so magnificent. At sometimes too, it'll be still and it'll be quiet. And it'll be a stillness like you've never, you know, when they say you can hear quietness. That's how He does it. So see, let's put our confidence in God and let's our expectation be of Christ and not expecting what it's going to be when we come in together. Isn't that wonderful? You see what I'm saying? See, that's faith. In faith, God brings it differently all the time. See, if it always was the same way, where would my faith be? Whether it was healing, whether it's in worship. Every day, that's the challenge. God, You're still in control. This may look awful. This may not be the way that I thought it was going to line up. But You've got it, and I'm believing You. See? That's the faith that He wants us to have. I appreciate that God, again, is moving us that way. Going on in 19. Which is administered or distributed by us to the glory of the same Lord. And remember, any time you're ever going to distribute anything, it better be to the glory of God or you've distributed nothing. And declaration of your ready mind. And isn't that wonderful? The reason that they started to receive this stuff is because they had a ready mind. You better be ready. Praise God. Are you ready? Hallelujah. Well, half the battle's already been fought. You showed up. All right. Now, we've got to open up, right? See, we can still show up, but we haven't opened up. We're here, but we're not here. See, I want to be here, and I want to be open to receiving the things of God. Everything that happened today, really, when we step into this place, by His grace, I want it gone. I want it out of here. If you're going to go pick it up, that's your business. But pick it up after you walk out. Leave it out there. Come in and receive the things of God. And He'll strengthen you, and He'll build this in your life, won't He? It's precious. And it's line upon line. And it will move you. It will move your life. There will be monumental times where you'll say, well, I got it. Isn't that wonderful? The light goes on. I finally have got it. I had somebody call me this week. I finally understand that He loves me unconditionally. Greatest thing I heard all week. It was so precious. And this is a lady that had grown up in this place. Lauded. Many years, has a family, finally understands that He unconditionally loves me. I can't imagine, you know, that's it. All the places you'll go, hallelujah. Now all the places she'll go. Isn't that wonderful? See, that breakthrough. And God gives us those monumental things, but then a lot of times you'll go for a long time. But remember, have confidence in Him that it's line upon line. See, one of these pages doesn't look like much to you, does it? It doesn't look very much. You probably can't even see it out there. But now you can. Because it's all there. It's all the lines and all the verses. That's how it has to be built. Mm-hmm. And He'll build this in our lives. He will. He promised. Okay. Avoiding this, that no man would blame us in this abundance, which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men, providing things honest in the sight of all men. There in, I think it's Romans 12. I can't think of the verse right now, but I know it's there in Romans somewhere. I think it is the 12th chapter. But again, it's important to be honest. But let's back up here. How are we ever going to be a faithful steward? By grace. It's got to be by grace. Because you're not faithful. Do you get that? I hope you do. You cannot abide faithful, but He does. And in His faithfulness, and in this infinite grace, He can cause this life. Thou hast a little faith. Isn't that wonderful? Thou hast a little strength. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I want it to be built by His grace into great faith. As the Lord Himself said about that soldier. He said, such great faith I hadn't seen in. Hallelujah. And it wasn't one of the disciples. He wasn't one of the apostles, but he believed. Do you see the place that you can have? All He wants you to do by His grace is believe. Greatest thing we can have. Greatest thing that we can ever be with Him. The greatest way we can ever please Him. It's impossible to please Him without faith. Believe Him. So we can be a faithful steward by grace. By grace, it causes us to be faithful. By grace, He causes us to be accountable. See, accountability is a big thing that's out there in the churches right now. And they assign somebody to you to be accountable. Did you know that? You got a group. You got to be accountable. No, that's not really how it works. I appreciate that we encourage one another, but I'm not accountable to you. It's there. He's accountable to me. Praise God. And He does that. He brings that accountability into my life. And that's the grace that He gives me. Do you see how He's for us, brothers and sisters? And that's the accountability that comes forth. It's His grace. It's His divine grace that brings that into us. And again, yes, this is talking about the money. This is talking, in a sense, on the surface. These brothers and sisters were collecting the different monies in these churches. And they needed to be accountable. This is God's place. Let me tell you something. This is God's money that is given here. This is His storehouse. And I would encourage you to pray and to continue to pray and not put your confidence in any man or any committee or any board, but you keep putting it in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My confidence is there. And I know that He always does that which is right. And I know then that He'll cause us to sow absolutely for great riches. And you know one thing about that sowing? It's always going to be in His truth. Yep. Hallelujah. We're always going to plant by the grace of God His Word. And I can see the abundance. And He gives us such great abundance, brothers and sisters. But that's the confidence we need to have. Not in projects, not in all of these different things, but in Christ and Christ alone. And then He does it, doesn't He? Didn't He say He brings the increase? Praise the Lord. And He does every single time. So again, the grace of God enabled them to be men of God. The grace of God enabled them to have a wonderful testimony. And it's essential that we have a wonderful testimony. And it is wonderfully essential to provide things honest in the sight of all men. Not in a self-righteous way, but in again, remember the fear of God that we talked about? How the fear is, Lord, I want to please You. And you know how you please God is by faith. And by faith it builds a testimony in my life. And it causes me to be honest. I appreciated my dad. And he said, you know, son, and he said it to me this way. He said, the only thing that you'll ever have in a sense naturally in a lot of ways is you have your word. That's it. Your good name, you've heard that? Well, I have a good name. It's Jesus Christ. And that's who we represent by the grace of God. And that's a big responsibility. It's Him working through us, nothing of me. But again, it's that relationship that causes me to be an honest man. Because I know that all men are liars. Because He told me that. Isn't that wonderful to know? So see where we all started. And apart from God, that's right where we're at. But in Him we can actually have integrity. In Him we can be honest. We can live valor. All of those things that, oh, I thought those were just knights of the round table. No, He wants that for us. He wants us to have that kind of life. And it's a good life. It is. There's a real fruit and sweetness in it. All right. We've got to move along here, Jess. Okay. So, we provide these things on us. Verse 22. And we have sent with them our brother. And again, this other brother they're speaking of, thought his here. This could be Apollos. Whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent. Praise God, I think of Apollos, how he was a man that loved the Lord, had a great zeal for the things of God, and there came Priscilla and Aquila and showed him a more perfect way. Hallelujah. So see, there was even more diligence that was added to that life, more depths of the truth that was put into that precious brother, upon the great confidence which I have in you. Says it a second time. Again, I just think about the grace of God. These Corinthians that we started so many months back. And how you just think, there's just no hope. They're just too wicked. They're caught up into that devil stuff. They got pyramids and crystals and piercings and all of these different things. And you think I'm talking about Lodo. Come on. Come on. Stay with me. But God. Isn't that wonderful? But God. He loves us so. I want to abound in hope. And in Him it is hope. And it's a wondrous hope. And God wants to bring to us the fullness. Praise His name of His Son. And to develop that in our lives. But I think about how He says this. The great confidence which I have in you. Look what the Lord has established in their lives. Praise the Lord. I hope we understand that. I hope we want to live again for Christ of His great love toward us. Whether any do require of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. See, they had questions about this guy. Who is this guy? Well, if you inquire about him, let me tell you something. He's equal in faith and love. And he's in unity in spirit with me concerning God's purpose. of our brethren be inquired of. They are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. And I'm moving kind of quick because I really feel we need to get through some of this. But this is a magnificent verse here. It says, our brethren be inquired of. If you're asking about them, they are the messenger of the churches. Let me tell you something. This is those angels, those messengers to those seven churches that you'll find there in Revelation. These are the ones that were speaking the truth. These are the ones that were going out unto the angel of the church of Philadelphia, under the angel of the church of Smyrna. Isn't this wonderful? I write these things to them. These were the ones that were bringing forth that wondrous word. And look at what it says about them. And they are the glory of Christ. That's what you want. That's what you want. You want the glory of Christ. Christ in me. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Praise God, this is it. This is this wonderful bridal truth that he's talking about there in Revelation 21:11, where you see that bride coming down from heaven and she has the glory of God. She has her own light. She is so like him that she emits, praise God, his glory. Hallelujah. Absolutely. Oh, that glorious church. Praise God, it's coming forth. All right. How exciting, again, to be His glory. And by grace, that's the reward of yielding. When we yield to God, He brings that glory. And you see it. Amen. It's there. It's evident. All right. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. This is receive them in love. The way we use our money here as well too indicates the measure of love we have for the truth. Sure, it is godly testimony. But I'd like you to think about this. Show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love. I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 12 and 15. 12 and 13. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. And it says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. And that word admonish, you know what that means? It means to warn. It means wake up. Come on, wake up. And to esteem them very highly in love, just in love, in their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Praise God. See, that's the work of the Lord, is understanding that, God has called these different ones. And a lot of times, and we'll read about Brother Paul, he was base in their sight. When he was present with them, he was base. There's a lot of vessels that the Lord will use that don't seem very appealing to man. That discarded by man, overlooked by man. But let me tell you something, when there's treasure in that vessel, I'll tell you, treasure it, embrace it, receive it, honor it as unto the Lord. All right, let's go on to chapter 9. For as touching the ministering to the saints, that means as concerning the ministering to the saints, it's superfluous or abundant here for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness or the willingness of your mind. Again, the transformation that happened in these people. I hope this encourages you. How, again, gone they were. Given over to really just minds that were just in sin. Mired in that stuff. Trying to conceive and come up with things that were so against the things of God. But God. But God. Let this be your hope, but God. Hallelujah. But now they have this willingness of mind. For which I boast of you to them in Macedonia. And again, remember those Macedonian saints? That's the church of Philadelphia. He was boasting about these saints to them. Look what God has done. Look at the fruit that's coming forth. That Achaia was ready a year ago. And your zeal hath provoked very many. Isn't that wonderful, the testimony of the Lord? See, a lot of times you just don't think, oh, I don't have a testimony. I don't have anything. You don't realize how that speaks. Young people, I can't tell you how many times a week I get calls. I have people come in and talk to me. How the young people encourage. How people that, you know, and I don't mean to point out, again, I hope this is just God's work, but the single ones, the ones that sometimes their spouses don't come, the encouragement to one another, the ones that are elderly, that come out, that want to be in the house of the Lord, those that sometimes attend other meetings but come out on a Wednesday, how encouraging that is, because you want to fellowship in the things of God. There's something that we want to feast upon. Every single one in this church. Most importantly, the Lord's pleased with you. He's pleased that you're here. But I hope you know that ones that are truly in unity in spirit are pleased and thankful and thrilled and encouraged. All walks of life. So don't think that you don't have a testimony. Praise the Lord. Okay? All right. Got a big head now. We'll get it down here in a minute. All right. No, I'm just kidding. I hope that we just are enlarged, as the Word tells us. We're just enlarged of heart of what God's doing. Isn't that precious? All right. So, yet I have sent brethren, he says here. This is verse 3. Lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf. Paul wanted them to come. He wanted them to see these brothers and sisters and see the transformation. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel in your life. Praise God. It's wonderful to see the Lord shining through your face this evening. The countenance upon you. Now go bring it out to wherever you go. Don't hide it. Sure, you're going to be ridiculed. You go to church on Wednesday night? Shoot, that's when the party's just starting for the weekend. And it is. Hallelujah. Wednesday night is... For me, man, we're getting it started. Hallelujah, okay? So, don't be ashamed. And he boasted on their behalf. That as I said, ye may be ready, a witness of this. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me, and find you unprepared, we should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. So again, Paul wanted them to be prepared with the gathering, with the tithes that they were, receiving. Again, for the furtherance of the gospel. But I think of this so preciously that Paul was thinking of them. And what grace that he had for them as Christ Jesus has for us. And Paul wanted them to succeed. And he was thinking that they might not be ready. He was thinking that I want you to be prepared. I have a heart as Christ. He wants us to be prepared. Okay, now let's keep reading what he says here. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you. So before these others came down to participate, to see this wonderful gathering and this collection that was going on, just so you'd be prepared, I loved you so, I sent some brethren beforehand. Hallelujah. You think... Kind of sounds a little bit like the Holy Spirit. What do you think of that? Isn't that precious? He wants you prepared. He sent the Holy Spirit. Invite Him into your life. Be full of the Holy Ghost. All right? And make up beforehand your bounty. Wherefore ye had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Again, he wanted to ensure their success. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ wanted to ensure our success to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There was no other way it was going to happen unless he sent his wonderful Spirit. Okay, he's here. They've been sent to prepare to make sure we're ready. Isn't that awesome? It's all over the Word of God, isn't it? Oh no, this is just about tithing. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Praise God. It's about the greatest offering that's ever going to be made. She's going to be prepared, isn't she? Hallelujah. Yep. She's going to be prepared and he so loves her. Hallelujah. All right. Going on. Verse 6. But this I say, He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I know a lot of meetings you're going to hear that once a month. I hope you hear that every moment of your life. And I hope you understand really what that's talking about. Sure, we want to give unto the Lord. But I'm telling you, He's not just talking about your means. He's talking about everything. He wants it all. He wants an I will go coming out of you. And Lord, that it's all yours. And praise God, it does say it all. See, he that cometh to God, I think about that verse, and I think this is what this is saying. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Isn't that wonderful? So I believe what this is really saying to us, brothers and sisters, to sow bountifully in our life, it's never going to happen unless you have a vision. You have to have a vision of God's plan for your life. You have to have a vision truly for God's best. We will never sow or really live for Christ without a vision of the deep things of Christ. You won't. People can tell you, well, you got to go sow. Well, until you understand, you're never going to be able to sow bountifully. And that is the sowing bountifully at the same time. It's so beautiful how it works together. But that's why so few Christians really stay in the things of God. You know, one of the sweet things that I'm able to share with people often about this meeting is how many people have been here for so many years. Believe it or not, I know a lot of people that have been here for so many years think, well, isn't that what you're supposed to do? No. Actually, the happening thing to do is to kind of jump from church to church to church to church. And some of the ones that might have been in here for a short time understand that that might be out there. I hope it's not about a place, it's about a message. And I hope by the grace of God it hooks you. Because if it will hook you, I'm going to tell you something. It'll be hooks that I believe that'll just grow deeper and deeper and deeper. And they're the hooks of grace. They really are. And it's so precious when He has us like that. And it will be something that you'll enjoy and you'll thrive and you'll grow. That's why so many people burn out in the things, in a sense, of Christianity, because they put their confidence in a feeling. Okay, it's a place where I can go and, man, I'm feeling something today. And, man, this is really neat. And it might go for months. It might go for a couple years. I don't know how long it'll go for, but I know one thing. If it's not based upon the truth, oh, well, here we go. And I'm talking about the deep things of God. It won't last. It just won't. It'll kind of fade. It'll go whatever, you know. But it's, you know, true love, real love, when you really, really fell in love, naturally speaking, when it was the real deal, you went after it. And if it was really the real deal, you never fall out of that love. You just love. There's something about it. Can't explain it. I just love. Crazy, huh? That's just a little type sign of what Jesus Christ is and what He wants in your life. And when you taste that love, you just, it's amazing what He can do. It's so absolutely awesome. Praise God. But we want to sow into that. And again, this is why we have this wonderful calling in our life, this wonderful truth that we've seen truly the fullness of the harvest. This is this wonderful vision that He gives us. The visions of the first fruit. The vision of the high calling message. The truth and love God allows to take hold in our life. I want us to go back because you really need to sow beyond yourself to find this. And that's the grace of God. Let's read from the third verse of the eighth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Let's go back and refresh us with that. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. That's what the grace of God does. We talked about that. The grace of God gives you power beyond yourself. And you have to have power beyond yourself or you'll never go with God. You never will. It won't happen. It will end. It will burn out. You can have all the effort and all the works that you want. But to have the power that will enable you to go on, to be willing of yourself, oh my goodness, it's got to be the grace of God. And oh, what love can do. Verse 7 there, back in the 9th chapter. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I don't need to explain that with your money. God tell you that so clearly. Do it because you love Him. And more importantly, do it because He loves you. Huh? All about love. All right? But I'll tell you what. Let's go back to that first part of that verse where it says, what He has purposed. And I'm telling you, I can't contain it. And by the grace of God, I hope we quit messing around here. Let's just get to Ephesus. Fully purposed. I can't get it off my heart. Praise the Lord. As He is purposed in your heart, let it be fully purposed. Let it be, I will go. Praise God. Yes. A lot of people ask me again about tithing. Well, how much? What's the purpose? Well, go to the Old Testament. A tenth, I don't know. That might be a good start. But what He has purposed in your heart. But this is the abundant calling, brothers and sisters. This is far beyond your money. He wants you. He wants you. Praise God. And it's evident He started it all by giving His wonderful Son. That was the whole plan. All right, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace. I hope you underscore this verse, star it, do whatever you need to do. But what a magnificent, again, this whole chapter is this book, but especially this verse. And God is able, fully able, there's nothing hard for Him, to make all grace abound toward you. And we'll just stop there just for a moment. Again, this is the God that takes care of it all. And again, it's not just some grace. It's not just grace. Notice, it's all grace. And there's one thing about grace. It can only abound. So when you receive any, or especially by the grace of God, receive all of it, you're going to abound. It's going to abound in your life. It's going to be amazing. You talk about a peace that passes understanding. You accept that grace. I don't care what situation you're in. You'll have a peace that passes understanding. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. You will have a song in the night. You will. Because grace just does that. It has to work that way. Praise God, because it's His. It's this love. It's His wonderful Son. And going on, that ye always... Now look at this. Look at this grace. We have all the grace. It's abounding towards us. I would have just been thankful and so thrilled with that. But again, this is our exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, God. That ye always... Think about that. Think about the situation that's consuming your mind at this moment. Okay, I brought you back there. Now let's get out of there again. Right? Now here we go. That ye always, not sometimes, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Don't you love the way He wrote His word? And so thankful that He performs it. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, we are without excuse, aren't we? No more excuses, really. Praise the Lord, no more. No more. We got it all. The mother load. Ability. Help. Purpose. Backing. Enabling. And all that is of God. I remember Brother Hillhead say, well, just think if, you know, you had a business project or something like that and you had Bill Gates backing you. It's unlimited. Go on out there. I would never worry. I'm just going to tell you. I don't think I could think of projects big enough to waste all of those billions. I make mistake. I could do this. I could, it didn't work today. I write another check. Didn't work today. I write another check. But God's backing you. And that's the greatest project there will ever be. Fully purposed. Praise God. Oh, I hope we get this. See, this is a God that wants nothing less than full overcoming in our life. This is a God that wants true worshipers. This is a God that wants joint heirs. This is a God that wants a downright glorious church. It's pretty amazing. We have a very special God, don't we? Talk about how personal He is. I hope you hear Him speaking to you. And again, just to be overwhelmed by this plan, the good works that before the foundation of the worlds, He saw you. He saw that you needed that. Appreciated that. That sister today, she was laid off and it was precious to me. She said, and just think, He was thinking of that before He set one star in heaven. Pretty amazing, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing. I do want to press on. I hope we can bear a little bit together, but I do want to get through this chapter. Verse 9. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad. Boy, He hath dispersed abroad, I'll tell you that. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. This comes from Psalm 112:9. And basically, He really looks after us, doesn't He? Again, how He enables us. Again, how this verse calls out, I would that all men be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. And again, I hope this rings true to every one of our hearts that God is no respecter of person. He wants everybody to have this. We're all wicked. We all were unworthy. There wasn't one that came after Him. There was not anyone that ever would seek Him. He had to draw us. It had to be all by grace. All right. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, verse 10, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. This is sweet prayer. Being enriched in everything. See, isn't this wonderful how complete God is in all things, in all sufficiency? Enriched, just being enriched. No, it's enriched in everything. I mean, this excites me. I pray it excites you. I can't help but get excited about it. Everything and increasing and abundance. And these words, they can't even get at it, but you can see what He's trying to say is just, I just absolutely am so in love with you, son. I hope you see it. Take it. But enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. So again, we've come full circle. I want us to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Turn with me here. We're wrapping it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Well, I'll tell you, as my sweet brother Ray said about drinking out of a fire hydrant, I really have felt that with this little study that God has given me in these last couple weeks here. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given unto you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. And brothers and sisters, His wealth is ours. This is what this is saying. It's all ours. It's mine. There's nothing lacking. We are fully enriched. We're increasing, and it's all by grace. And how He does this over and over and over throughout the Word of God, ensuring us and assuring us. And I pray that we get it. And I'm telling you, you get this, you'll be thankful. Faith, we've talked about this. Great faith is thankful. That's a great, call about like a test of it, a testing or a proof. How thankful are you? Well, I believe that also will indicate how much faith is being built in your life. Are you thankful? When you're thankful, you'll live for Him. You really will. Because you'll realize how much He loves you. All right, verse 12. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. So again, this great high priest, what it's saying here, is he distributes the abundant grace to our lives. Isn't that wonderful? Completely filling every need. Every shortcoming that you have. Every inability that I have. And as I told you when the Lord called me into the ministry, I said, Lord, I am totally inept to do this. And He said, you're right. And He did. And I see the amens. And I appreciate you being quiet with it. But I heard them. No, you have no ability. And that's the truth. Without Him. Yep, without Him. Never going to do anything. It's never going to work effectually without Him. And see, that is the magnificence and the specialty of grace, isn't it? Yep. Coming in where you can't. Mm-hmm. Coming in when you couldn't. Moving on when you stopped. Yeah, oh, isn't that wonderful? Going up when you were headed the other way. Huh? Praise God. See how He lifts us up? That's our wonderful Lord. And that will make you thankful. All right, 13, 14. Whilst by the experiment. He's not experimenting with us. He's proving. Is what that word really is. A lot of people say, oh, he's experimenting. No, he's just proving the grace of God in us. The proving of this ministration that they glorify God. For your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. Oh, isn't that wonderful? See, what you need to subject into the gospel. And for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Boy, there's a lot of this wonderful thankfulness and exceeding. And praise God, it's bringing back the proof of grace. And the proof of grace will always glorify God in your life. Are you glorifying God? Are you here tonight? I believe you're glorifying God. I really do. That's the proof of grace. See, it had to be grace that got you in here. Absolutely. It had to be grace that got me in here. Absolutely. Praise be to God. Something we could never do. And see, we gain not only joy of giving, in a sense, giving our means, ourself to God, but we also are rewarded in this, if you really see what it's saying here, is the answering of prayer. Did you know that? Did you know that your prayers are answered? When you say, oh no, I've been praying for things. They're answered. You're just expecting them in a different way, but they're answered. They are. Amen. I just have been really asking the Lord, help me to pray in accordance to your will. I'll be a lot more pleased. I'll realize that you really do answer my prayers. Huh? A lot of people say, all that silly stuff. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, no, it's not. He's answered them. He hears them. He's answered them. They've been taken care of. He knows. And how far again these Corinthians have come, as he says, the exceeding grace of God in you. And verse 15, thanks be unto God. Look at all the thanks and thankfulness that we've just read. I hope that rings a bell. I hope that rings true in your life. We need to be a thankful people. That he's given us what we have. Everything. Being thankful for everything. In everything. And I know that's hard. And we're not all there in everything yet. I believe when you're thankful in everything, there'll be the time that you leave the planet. How's that, huh? He's working in us. Praise God to turn it. Lord, turn it to joy. Let me realize that this is for my good. But again, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. It's all because the unspeakable gift. It's all because of Jesus. There's that name. Jesus. 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 There's something about that name. Whew. Isn't there something about that name? I'm so thankful from a baby. It's been Jesus. No other power but in that name. There's no other salvation but in that name. It's in Jesus. And you've heard me say it before that God so loved. Know tonight that He is all in. God is all in. He can give no more. He gave you everything when He gave you the unspeakable gift. We've got it all. We've got it made. You talk about, I've got it made. Remember our sweet pastor for years and years. He'd get in that just, some would say, oh, that silly grin. And he'd just get in there and say, I got it made. You got it made. You just got to believe it. You got it as made as the Apostle Paul. As a Brother Copley. You do. As a Brother Hill. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we got it made. And He's just so good. Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank You again for this time. We thank You for Your truth. Lord, just, oh, apply it to our hearts this evening. Lord, let us take this time, these words of life, this truth, and let us know that this is the treasure in our life. Don't let us set our affections upon anything but You. Help us to really to draw after this, to draw nigh to this calling, to pant truly for Your appearing. Thank You, God, that You bring this peace and let this precious peace that You're so for us, just again, let everything else be still. In Jesus' name, amen.